All right. Good morning, everybody. Happy Greek Easter. If you didn't know about that, it is Greek Easter today. That's where Maria is, by the way. Okay, she's cooking for Greek Easter. It just happens, man. People come in, and Easter's a great day. But I appreciate you guys being here and being a part of what's going on. This is a sweet peace today, just of Jesus, just a peace. That peace that passes understanding, because, you know, he is a Prince of Peace. And so it's great in the world that we live in that we could really come into a place where we just sense God's presence and his peace and just know that he's in control. He is Jehovah Shalom. And so I'm excited about today and just what God is doing and continuing to do, really just through TCC and just in our lives. And so today, as we talk about this message, this is just kind of a message that I felt like God gave me a few weeks ago, just to share, really called One Hit Wonder. And we're going to talk about Judas today. And really about his life. But before we get started, how many of you guys remember some, like, one-hit wonders back in the day? Like, one-hit wonders come on, like, oh, I remember that song, never heard it again. Like, you never heard them from again. So I got a couple. Guys, just play a couple real quick. What do you got? Okay, don't be. Okay, all right, that's good. Next one. Some of you start to do the Tainted Love by Soft Cell. Tainted Love. Jenny's favorite, okay. Okay. Yeah, you're so fine. You're so, yeah, blow my mind. Yeah.
Who let the dogs out?
Yeah. One of my favorites.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
And the big one. Yeah.
VIP. Let's kick it.
I don't know. Who knows? I might do something. Anyway, have a little fun, Vanilla Ice, man. When he came out with that song, it was so good. And it was like nothing after that. Just nothing. Now he does houses. So we're just good. But, you know, you remember those songs a little bit. And it just brings you back to the day. But there are one-hit wonders, right? One hit. Nothing after that. And, you know, I began to think about Judas a little bit. And Judas, he's known for one thing. Betraying Jesus. And the outcome of his life, we still talk about today. And I know some of us, we might say, man, I would never betray Jesus. Think about it. Back in the day and what was happening, what was going on, Jesus selected the disciples knowing that Judas was going to betray him. All part of that purpose and plan that God had and supersedes us and the sovereignty of God knew that that was going to take place. But Judas also played a role. And I'm going to look at his life a little bit today and really contrast between what he's remembered by, that one act, and really look at your own life, and how are you going to be remembered in your life? God's not looking just for a one hit. You gave your life to Jesus, and that's it. We don't hear from you again. When you look at the epitaphs on a gravestone, and you have the dates, this date to this date, and that little dash in the middle, and really, people look at that, and they're like, oh, man, they look at the dates, but more importantly, I like to look at what's inscribed on it. Because it's not so much really how long someone lives, but it's really how well they lived. And so if you were to look at your own life, what would be your own epitaph? What would you want someone to write on your gravestone when you died? And would it be true of you? Would it be true? And live in that way. Don't live in the way, well, I get this one life, and if I make it to the end, I make it to the end, que sera, sera. If it happens, it happens. And you don't realize that God has put you here for a specific purpose to make an impact that is lasting beyond your life. And until you get that and grasp that, you'll only begin to live for yourself and your life will be empty and shallow. But when you begin to look out and see that there is a world that God has called us to impact, your life takes on a different meaning and a different role. And you come to God every morning and say, Lord, use me. I dedicate my life back to you and I give it to you. Take it, mold it, make it, and may it be also honoring to you, but use it to impact this world. Give your life away. He said, listen, I came to seek and save the lost, but I came to give my life away. That's why he came, knowing that's why he came. Jesus was not confused about his mission. His one mission was to save the world from their sins, you and I. And in doing that, he was going to have to give his life. That was his act in doing that. But we're still talking about his legacy and his life today because of that. He did a lot of other things, and you can read the Gospels. But really, what do we always go back to? We always go back to the cross. and what the cross meant. That's what we always go back to. And then when we're in that mode, in that celebratory mode, we go back to the resurrection. Because we're excited about the cross, and it helps us endure when we're going through difficult times. We can look at the cross and say, listen, Jesus endured for me. I can endure. And then knowing also that, yeah, he did die, but he rose again. And so even in your own life, and it was so appropriate as Chris was even talking about that, how God wants to resurrect things in your own life that you thought were dead and buried. And so what happens in your life is that for seasons, those things tend to be covered. They're covered. Not necessarily covered because God doesn't want them to come into fruition or come into a reality, but God also has a pruning time, a season in your life that God hides you and puts you in a position of where he needs to grow you and get you in a position of where you can handle what the actual dream will entail in your life. Because you can dream, but the reality is there's a difference between I have a dream and actually walking in that dream, because there is stress that comes along with that dream. And God is really more concerned with helping you be able to handle the stress of being blessed in your life. There is stress that comes along with being blessed. And God wants to bless you. And God is so good as a father that he puts us in a position and in a time in our life where it feels like we're in an incubation period where God is really doing a work in us, but building in certain character traits in us that need to be there so that when God does release us out into what he's called us to release us out into, those character traits are really what holds us together, because that's what God is looking for, because there is blowback that comes from success. You can be successful. It's one thing to be successful, but if it's another thing to be able to handle success. And people have a hard time with that. And God's such a good father that he allows us to go through the difficult times. It's wondering, because a good father doesn't just give you everything you want when you want it. Because he knows that, number one, it would spoil you. And number two, you wouldn't be ready. Let's look at the prodigal son. The father said, I'll give it to you if you want it. But even in that process, he understood and knew that what he was doing probably was going to have some repercussions. But even in your own life and what God really asks us to do, God's not going to give you everything you want. A good parent doesn't do that, because a struggle is good for you. Pressure is good for you. Learning how to fight is good for you. Learning how to grow is good for you. Learning how to do hard things is good for you, because you learn to appreciate it once you get into it in your life, that it wasn't just handed to you, but you actually had to work for it, and there's a value that you hold it now with, that it's not something that you just throw it away with. It's like, it's just, well, now I got it, but I don't really need it. No, God said, I did that. Listen, you understand and knew what it took to get you there. So God wants you to appreciate where he took you from and appreciate it so much that you remember it so that you can actually appreciate it when you get it. That's what being a good steward. You know, God's a good steward. You know, God's a good steward. He gave you salvation. It's a gift. But he also said, I'm going to also help you steward your life. I'm just not going to give you things every time you want things, because I'm not Santa Claus. But what I am is that I'm a father who I want a relationship with you with. And then as needed, I will give you the things that you need. And really, what you mostly need in your life is mercy and grace every single day. And, you know, that's what's sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you as he's holding up what he's trying to bring into your life. He said, my grace is sufficient. Just keep moving toward me. Isn't that what God is really speaking to some of you right now in your life? You're asking God, Lord, when's it coming? God said, well, just keep moving toward me. Just keep at it. Keep remaining in me and understanding what it looks like to remain in me, because without me, you can do absolutely nothing. The book of John chapter 15, you can't do anything. So if you learn the process of remaining in me, then you'll begin to understand when I give you things, we'll stay together. You know, because sometimes in your life, well, you know, think about your life. Way back when you made those declaration and promises to God, where you said, Lord, if you just give it to me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And then you get it, and then you play with it, and you forget Jesus a little bit. You open the gift, and you forget who gave it to you. And so that in our life, God said, listen, I just want you to have a healthy perspective. I want to bless you in your life, but don't forget the gift that I gave you first. You remember that gift? Jesus, that gift that's saving you every day of your life, that's saving you from yourself, That gift, you know, that gift of salvation that I freely gave to you, that's the one. I just want to make sure that you're appreciating that gift, because that's the main gift. All these other gifts that you get are just bonuses in your life. God brings them blessings in your life. That's just a bonus. That's just, thank you, Jesus, what you did. It's because of salvation and because I am who I am today, because what you did and what Jesus did. Praise God, Lord. I receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for the blessing of my wife. Thank you for what you're bringing into my life. But guess what? It doesn't replace the giver. Anytime it starts to replace the giver, God says, you're out of order. And it doesn't work right. And if you're really walking with Jesus, you'll begin to feel the tension of, okay, he's not first right now. Because what you're doing now is that you're holding on to the gift and what he gave you as opposed to that, the giver. And that's a recipe for disaster, because what if the gift goes? What if the gift that you got doesn't work out? And so rather than hold on to the thing or the blessing, you got to say, Lord, I give it back to you. And you take it, because I want to make sure that we're walking hand in hand. And so whatever comes in my life, it's okay. It can come. But you just keep holding my hand. And I know it's not real popular to say that as a man, but I need Jesus to keep holding my hand. And that has nothing to do with not being manly or being a man. But you understand something about the reality and the difficulty of life, but also walking with Jesus, is that you need him to walk with you through difficult times, and that grace to be able to undergird you, because whether you realize it or not, he's all you got. What do you mean? You look at the book of Psalms. And you look at a lot of the Psalms that David wrote were in desperation, because his enemies were arising on both sides and wanted to assassinate him and wanted to kill him. And he had to realize who his hope was in. And until you get to that point in your life where you realize that your hope is only in Jesus, then you'll have you only have a superficial understanding of what a real relationship with Jesus is about. And when you go through something real in your life, you won't last. Because in reality, he's that chief cornerstone. He's the one on the bottom that's holding you up right now. And sometimes in your life, God will strip everything else away, as Malia was saying this morning, and saying, hey, listen, I want to test this theory with you that I am the chief cornerstone. Am I? How appropriate, several months back when we preached that message, am I so first? How God was reminding us and saying, listen, no matter everything else that's going on in your life, no matter what's happening, am I still number one in your life? And we're going to test that theory. And I love God. I love God because not only does God actually help us see things when it comes to his word and revelation, but he likes to test his word in you. So you are under responsibility once you hear the word being preached. So that when you go through a time in your life or difficulty in your life, and when something comes up this week, you cannot say that you didn't hear, because you heard. And so if you're really in tune and the Holy Spirit is doing his job, right now he's bearing witness with your spirit. This part is for you. This one is for you. Gird up, because this one might be coming in your life. And you just understand it a little bit. That's his work. He leads us in all truth. And so when difficulty comes up, he has a way of bringing things back to remembrance. How many of you, and I've heard stories about this, and this happens all the time. You're going through a difficult time. You don't know what to do. Guess what? All of a sudden, I remembered that phrase came to my mind. And it was the Holy Spirit bringing it to your mind and said, listen, this is for this. Walk in this. Because that's what he does. Because you're in tune with him, spirit to spirit. Those who are the children of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God leads us. And that's the beauty about being in relationship with Jesus. So this is for you. And that's the great thing. A lot of people think, well, I just come to church or hear a good message. I'll make sure my sins are forgiven. And I'll make sure that I'm right with Jesus. And I'll do my penance and I'll leave. But they have no idea and understand that they are now accountable for what they just heard. You know, there are a lot of people who are going to stand before Jesus one day. Well, Lord, I never knew. And Jesus is going to look at him and say, you know what? I sent Bob and John. I sent your plumber. I sent these guys, all these people in your life, man, they were talking about me. They were living for me. And you knew all the time that was happening. I was knocking on the door of your heart and say, hey, man, This is for you. This is for you. And all of a sudden, you didn't want to have anything to do with it, even though, and I was persistent in my knocking, You didn't want to have anything to do. Those were all the people that I sent. And you guys, we got a responsibility. You're accountable now. There's not one person in this room, and I could look out pretty confidently to know that you have a relationship with Jesus. You are now accountable in that walk. You are now accountable in that walk. You are well past the age of where you are past 10. That's the, well, he's now 10. He should have a relationship with Jesus now. He should know eternal ramifications. All of y'all in here are past that age, okay, except little Addie in the back, okay? All right, she don't know. She maybe, okay, but you know now who Jesus is. You know, Judas had an understanding about who Jesus was. He saw Jesus do some crazy things, some miracles, but he wasn't connected. What a tragedy. You see all these things happen. Guys, these are in the notes, so don't be afraid not to put them up. You see all these things happen. You can come to church. You can see the world, be on the world stage. See preachers preaching, see people raised from the dead, all this stuff, and not be connected to Jesus. You can have a great experience and feel good, but not be connected with Jesus. This is Judas's life. Just walking with him, talking with him. Imagine seeing all these things. But when push came to shove, did not have a relationship with him, was not connected, and because of that, that door was open for Satan to enter in and said, okay, now it's time to do what we need to do. We got to be careful. The Bible talks about many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Did we not heal the sick? And he's going to look down and say, I never even knew you. It's a book of Matthew 7. That's a tough scripture. Could you talk about all this stuff? And that's why I put a high emphasis on your relationship with Jesus, not on the show. This is great in what we do, and it's an encouragement, but this is not reality. This is the presence of God where we can come in and engage as believers and community, and it's going to be wonderful one day when we're all in heaven and we're doing this, and it's going to be great, and we do this now. The Bible tells us to do it because we can engage, and there's something that happens now, but when we walk out the door, guess what happens? Reality hits, and now we got to walk it out. But the real question is, are you connected enough so that you don't say things like, well, I just hope I make it to next week. That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy to live that way. You hear about him, but you have no relationship and experience him to know that, no, I'm going to make it to next week because of who he is and what he's doing in my life. That resurrection power is working in me. He reminds me, and he gets me through next week. And so I draw closer to him. Our relationship deepens, and it's not about week to week. It's about a continual relationship with Jesus, no matter what day it is. I can go to my house right now and have a great time with Jesus just because he's in me. The presence of God walks with me. He walks with you. This is great. Hear me. Hear me. Do not get caught up with the show. Don't get caught up with the show. You're going to see great things, and you've gone to some great concerts probably. Some of you might have wanted to see Baha Man, whatever it was, okay? All right, it was a great concert. It was awesome. It was crazy, okay? And you left doing a lot of things. But just think about your life. Think about that great concert, but it was a show. You can get into the presence of God and have a great worship experience, and God really comes down and really ministers to you, but don't get stuck there. You still have to go and walk. Have a right perspective about your relationship with God. It is not about the acts. It's about the ways. I love the fact that God does miracles, and he does, and praise God that he does. He heals, he delivers, and we rejoice about that. But you know what God was really looking for? He said, listen, I did that. Now, are you still going to follow me? The Bible says that he showed the children of Israel his acts, but he showed Moses his ways. You want to be into a relationship with Jesus where he's showing you his ways, because that's where you're going to get the wisdom to be able to win. in life and understand this is how it's done in life. And he loves doing things for people, but he's like, listen, in the end, it's about you and me walking together, and we're able to walk out and sustain what I'm about to bring you into. You know you're about to come into something in your life, but you got to have a relationship with me so you can sustain it. We got to walk this thing out. I'm looking for you to endure to the end. I'm not looking for you to quit halfway through at 30 and you say, man, it's just too much for me. No, I'm looking for you and me to walk this thing out in the end. Well, this is one of the things you see when you're training people and you're working with people in a gym, is that they have a very limited capacity to be able to understand what endurance looks like. Because they come in with the mindset that they want to get better, but they want to do it without discomfort. They want to magically wish it away or freeze it away. It's crazy now. You can go freeze the fat away without doing any work in your life, okay? So just come freeze me, and I'll feel better about it, and there's no responsibility. I don't want to have to work for it. And that's really kind of our mentality. I don't want to work for nothing. And the fact of the matter is that, listen, when you come into a relationship with Jesus, there is an element of work. Not because you're trying to earn salvation. Amen. But because you're trying to see fruit being produced in your life. That's why the element of doing hard things is important. Because that's where fruit is born. If you try to like skirt around the process, you're not really understanding the value of what the process is supposed to bring into your life. I want to endure. But okay, then God allows us to be in situations where we have to endure. I don't like endurance. Well, this is how you learn endurance. No, I don't like it. Well, this is how you learn it. Marathon runners had to learn the concept of, I got to do this thing for a long period of time. So I'm going to have to train my body and really change my mindset that this is not a sprint, that I'm going to have to last toward this thing. I might die coming across the finish line, but I'm going to get across it, okay? Because their mindset has to shift, though. And it's trained. And so it takes a lot of ups, downs, brokenness. It takes things happening in their life in order for their body to get in shape, in order for them to do that. But they get in shape to do it. It's the same way with you. God said, listen, I'm going to bring you through some ups, some downs, some brokenness. I'm going to shift some things around. I want you to run long term with me so that we can last. Okay? I'm not looking for shooting stars anymore because they fade. Baja men, they're gone. Vanilla Ice, great song. All great stuff. But what I'm looking for you, I'm looking for you to last so that when you blow up in life and I do things and for people to see that we continue to grow and fly together and that your character is such that we last to the end. You're Billy Graham in the end. You know what Billy Graham said before he died? He said, you know what? I want to finish strong. 90? In his 90s, I want to finish strong. You know what? I want to finish strong. I want to come to the end, and I'm speeding up. I might be, doing this, but I mean, I'm speeding up. But even in that regard, we're not, guys, it's not this idea, well, I'm winding down. Where do you see that in Scripture where it talks about, well, in the end, we wound down. And then he took us. I don't see that anywhere. Most of these disciples, man, they died for their faith. They gave their life up. John was the only one who outlasted everyone on that island of Patmos who died of natural causes. And God used him to write the book of Revelation that you get today. He outlasted every one of them, but he was still strong in the faith. Let's have that mentality and that mindset that we're going to finish and we're going to last, that we're not going to be like Judas. Next scripture on Judas, come on, tragedy. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied, that's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. Don't allow the enemy to push you into a position that are going to cause you to make decisions that are going to compromise. Because in the end, all it does, it just causes you to hang yourself. It causes you repercussions in your life that really don't need to happen. But the issue with Judas was that he wasn't really connected. And really the main message of today is this for you, is that are there things happening into your life that could be avoided if you'll just connect with Jesus? Because once you connect with him, he'll help you close some of the doors to the past and some of the doors in your life that you're still going to allow the enemy to come in and influence you with, so that you can finish strong. You know, a lot of Christians today, they struggle in their relationship with Jesus, and they're struggling with, I don't feel God. I don't know where he's at. And it really is a matter of, where is your connection point? Because if you love God and your relationship with him, there should be a life that is coming out of you and a life that is coming through you that should be evident to the people around you. Not that you don't struggle, but that there's a life that's coming out of you, so much so that you are able to endure what life is trying to bring out, and more importantly, really what the enemy is trying to bring on you. If you're not strong in your faith, you are open game for the enemy. You're open game. Judas was open game. He was open, man. Open. So for you, being those people who run the distance and who want to last and who want to finish, how many of you know people who died young? And what are some of the things you said? Oh, man, what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Maybe not of their own fault. Things happen. You can't control things. But you look back, and then some people, you look back and you say, man, if they would have did this, their life was going in this direction, and they couldn't see the end of where it ended, but you saw it, and it ended up taking their life. And let that be a lesson for you, that no one is exempt from tragedy. No one. No one. You have the same opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus that Judas did. You have to make a decision to say, I'm going to stay, Lord, close with you. And some of you have come so far in your faith, it would be a tragedy to turn away. Turn away. Where else would you go? Have you thought about that? When the enemy comes in and brings in that temptation, that thought that says, you know, it's probably not worth it in the end, this thing. It's just too hard. Have you thought about that? Have you gotten to the point in your life where you've recognized that voice and say, you know what? But where else would I go? What else would I do? I found the one who gives eternal life. The one that continues to show up when I don't show up all the way. He continues to show up because he knows that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit. He's just looking for us just to show up to the fight, just to show up, make an attempt. And he says, I'll meet you there. I'm looking for that type of person, those type of people who change the world upside down, the book of Acts people, the book of Hebrews people, those type of people. I'm looking for those who didn't consider their life worthy to be kept but gave it away. Those people who didn't see the promise come but still kept on and saying, okay, I'm still going to go. Those people. Those are the type of people, the people in the world right now who witness to their execution or on their way to the execution. Those type of people. The type of people where they said back in the day during the Holocaust or World War II, when people knew they were going to die, some of them got up and joyfully went to their execution because they knew where they were going. Those are the type of people that God's looking for. Not the type of people who are like, well, it's too hard, I can't do it. When a lot of the world is in persecution right now, you've got 27 million people trapped in slavery right now. People are suffering for their faith. People are doing things that are impossible to do. Coptic Christians dying in Egypt for their faith. Joyous. Not that they don't have fear, but joyous. The underground church. Joyous. We got to meet underground because we got to meet underground. But joyous. Lord, bring us back to the place in our life where that joy of our salvation, where we count it all joy. It's joy for us to be in this persecution. And honestly, just to be very honest with you, that's coming. Persecution is coming. It's in different forms right now in America, but it's coming. And so what I'm telling you today is you got to make a decision to get connected with Jesus. You're going to have to in order to be able to withstand what's happening, what's coming. You have to, because there are going to be people that are going to go and God's going to take away. You're going to have to be the one standing and say, okay, Lord, if it's just me and you, it's just going to be me and you. Are you in that position? and stop fooling with stuff that don't matter. It's so fun to be a Christian, people say. It's just so fun. And then they live and they do whatever they want to do. And then when push comes to shove and life hits them, they fall over. Because they got no root system. Nothing. And those are the ones that are going to blow away like chaff. But you, what about you? God's got you on hold. He's delaying you. There's some things he's doing in your life. It's good for you. Because he's building you a foundation. You're standing taller in your life. We had a tragedy that happened with you, you know, last year. A lot better now. Standing stronger, happier, got a better glow about him. The things that God uses in our life to get us strong and stable. So that when the winds do come, that we're not tossed to and fro. We might bend, but we don't break. For the sports fans, they understand what I'm saying. In football, on defense, sometimes they'll say, man, they have a bend, don't break mentality in defense. All they do is they give up the short routes for people. They don't give up anything long. And then when push comes to shove, when they get down on the 20-yard line, they don't give up many touchdowns because they have such a strategy in their life that they keep everything in front of them. Is everything in your life in front of you? Can you see it? Or are things coming from different directions that you cannot see because you haven't submitted your life under the Jesus? Or more important, that you don't have a forward outlook in your life, and as you're not controlling it, you're not making decisions, but you're allowing that to dictate what you do. I'm going to give you that passage. Take it. I'm just not going to let you behind me. I'm going to do the same thing with the enemy. I'm going to give you that little thing. That's fine. But we're not going to go back to the past anymore. Because there's nothing there no more. So you can stay here. We can talk face to face. You can try to do like a dip, dive, duck, dip, dodge, dodgeball. You can do all that stuff. We can do all that. But you know what? We're not going to go. We can rehearse the past, but that's not the same guy. We can talk about here. And I'll tell you what. I'm just going to expose some of you. I'm going to expose you right now. So what I see you doing, flip it. Anytime the enemy comes in and tries to tell you stuff, do what the Bible says. You start exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. You start doing it. Stop living on defensive. Now, when he comes in, I'll tell you what. Now, this is actually what's happening here. You're this way because of this, and I see what you're doing here. You're still crying because of this. You need to be able to assess stuff. You need to be able to assess stuff, use discernment, and do it right. And don't allow people to come in and try to manipulate things in your life and try to say, this is what it is. No, that's not what it is. It's this way because you feel like it's this way. See, you have to understand something about God. God's put a spirit inside of you of boldness so that you can speak the truth in love, but stand up not so people can actually manipulate you and come up and be a doormat. Listen, you are the light of the world for a reason. And so when you stand up on a hill, everyone's looking at you. So when you come in a situation, darkness has to go and anything crazy has to be exposed. And so that's why when you come into situations like where we're at right now, anything crazy is exposed because you're the light. And where you walk, demons tremble and things get hairy and crazy because they know that you're coming. And the Spirit of God that comes in you, that Spirit of God that brings liberty comes in, and all of a sudden things that are not godly begin to come out and say, oh, I saw that attitude, didn't see that one before, because they're uncomfortable because the light is in the room. Yeah. So stop backing up and stop being a coward and stop saying I can't do it. Go into the place. Instead of saying or succumbing to, well, the devil's going to get me, you get up and say, no, I'm coming to get you today, man. Yes. I'm coming to get you.
Yes.
I'm coming to get you, man. I'm not playing around. I don't have time for this. I'm not playing around. If we're going to get it on, let's get it on right now. Because there's no time. Jesus, when he was dipping the Passover, they're like, Lord, who's going to betray you? Who's it going to be? Well, the same one that puts his hand into the plate the same time that I do. And all of a sudden, imagine the moment. Think about it. They're eating. Like, who's it going to be? Jesus does this, and Judas goes. And Jesus is like, what you're about to do, do quickly. Jesus is like, I don't have time for this. I'm going to call you out, and we're going to do this quickly. That's when you walk with Jesus, you begin to see stuff. I've got a purpose in mind. I came to die. And listen, you're just going to help me fulfill my purpose, so can you get going? Because, listen, you're not of me. So you might as well just split now. Okay, Lord. Okay, so, and listen, this even in relationships, let me help you. Don't waste your time being around people who are not like-minded like you and they don't have the same spirit that you do. It's a waste of time because in the end, something's going to happen. There's going to be a split, and it's not going to be good because if you're really walking with God, God's going to say, listen, you got to make a decision right now. It's me or them. God said, listen, we got to take care of this stuff right now. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your time with the mentality that says, well, I'm gonna date them. They're going to get saved. It ain't happening. I'm telling you right now, God's like, done with that. I'm proclaiming it right, done with it. Don't go into a situation setting yourself up to fail, thinking that, well, God's going to turn it around for me. When you know that God's already knocking on your heart and saying, this is probably not the way you need to go, don't test me in this. You know better. He said, if you know better, do better. Let's not go around this mountain, Ellen, again and again and again and again. Let's stay right on the outskirts of the promised land, looking in. And then when I say go in, let's go in. But let's not spend years where I have to go around and bring healing to your life again and raise you back up again. Let's not spend that time. Let's not do that again. Because really, it's exhausting for me, the Lord says. It's exhausting. It's exhausting, and it makes me want to throw up. Because you're not hot. You're not cold. You're lukewarm. You're with me, and then when it's hard, you're not with me no more. I'm going to go find my own thing. All right, then I'm going to call you back. We're going to come back in a relationship again. How you doing? I'm good. Sorry, Lord. Repent, cry. This whole cycle. He said, listen, I want the cycle done with. Amen. I want you in with me. My word is there. It's there for a reason. There are things probably in your life that you could avoid. If you will just say yes and say, okay, I'll do it your way. And some of you have graduated, and we're about to close right now. Don't worry about it. Some of you are graduated past that point where God has taken you through some difficult times. Why do you want to go back? You want to go back to that? And may God ever slightly remind you of how you were and how you are now. Not to tempt you to go back into remorse, but just as a little guardrail that says, that part's over. You're so much better now. You look so, oh man, you look good now. Your inside's good. I got you where I need. You look good. Girl, you look good. Boy, you look good. Things are happening. There's life coming out of you right now. Come on, keep staying with me. Keep staying. I know it's hard. Keep staying with me. We're doing something, man. Listen, you don't have to look back there. There's nothing there no more. It's awesome. And when God does deliver you from that and you keep moving forward, it's a breath of fresh air. And you say, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. Now I can leave a legacy. Now it's about legacy. It's not about tragedy anymore. It's about legacy. It used to be, not anymore. Now God has redeemed my life, so now I'm thinking about what does the future look like? God, where do you want to go? Where do you want to take me? Who do you want to affect? Where's it going to be? That's where you want to be. It's the dream. It's that. You don't want to be where you're back licking your wounds. That's why God is trying to get your attention. Get healed. Come into me. Get what you need. Get back together. It's quick. It's time. Come on. That's why if you feel right now in your life there's more pressure and you feel like, man, I just feel like it's heating up. God said, listen, it's heating up for a reason because there's coming a point in your life where you're going to have to make another decision. Let's all stand to our feet. He went out and hung himself because of remorse. I'm wondering right now what you're doing to yourself because of regret and remorse in your life. you're trying to have a relationship with God. It's trying to be life-giving. But there's something that's there that you continue maybe to fall into that's giving you that remorse and guilt. And you're like, man, it just I feel like I'm just hanging myself. Every time I try to make progress, I'm just hanging myself. I'm clipping my own wings. And God said, listen, if you'll let me, I'll help you get rid of this stuff. I'll help you deal with it. Because all it's doing is choking the life out of you. I just want to do life together with you. I'm convinced that God said, I just want to do life together with you. I want to do it with you because I want something better for you than what you're experiencing right now. Let's clip this stuff from your past. Let's clip it off right now. Let's just get it off. Let's really embrace the newness of life that I'm trying to give you. And let's really start walking into the fullness that I have. And for some of you, you might have to make some changes. You might have to get some counseling, whatever it is. You might have to do some things. But really what you need to start with, you need to start with surrendering your life back over to Jesus, because that's where it starts. You can try everything else in your life, but you have to finally get to the point where it says, I cannot do it anymore on my own. I can't. It's impossible. I'm not winning. And say, okay, Lord, yes. And now what do you want me to do? And then be obedient to that. Because if that doesn't take place, it'll be the same thing again and again. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. It's so good. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your provision in our lives. God, thank you for bringing us into a place of freedom. God, really into a place of confidence of who we are in you. The enemy, though he might try, can't win. Because any weapon that forms against us can't prosper. It won't prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment, we'll condemn it. Because that's our heritage. Thank you, God, that you're for us. Thank you, God, that we can actually be on the offensive and expose the unfruitful works of darkness. Thank you, God, that we don't have to wait, that you've already equipped us to go. You've already equipped us to be in the fight. And I pray, God, that you would help us to navigate around the schemes of the enemy. But God, also help us to know when we need to fight and to enter into warfare and what that looks like. Thank you, God, for that ability to be able to do that. You've already won. You've already won the victory. You're already sitting up there. He's already been defeated. I thank you that your kids are going to start to walk in confidence and not defeated in their life. Though they might fall, they get back up and they continue to walk again. Thank you, God, for training your kids. Thank you, God, for getting us to see like you see. Us healed and whole and walking in confidence, not being manipulated, but being free to be who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's give God a praise offering in this place.